Chapter, The Body Knows More. Why, what I didn't believe in worked. I'm writing this chapter for skeptics, for those who hear body work and think quackery, for those who believe in evidence, in repeatable experiments, in peer-reviewed journals. I'm one of them, product manager, engineer by training. A person who spent 20 years living inside her head and thought the body was just transport for the brain. Everything I'll describe here, I first discovered on myself. Then I checked and found that science had already described it. I just didn't know. There's nothing here about energy, channels, or the cosmos, only about how the brain, the nervous system, and the muscles work, and why it matters for a person who grew up in hell. 1. The body remembers what the head forgot. I was a few months old when my mother was stabbed and she dropped me. I don't remember this. Before 2 or 3 years old, conscious memories don't form. The hippocampus hasn't matured yet. I wasn't afraid of knives. Didn't think about it. But when Arseny was born, something changed. He was an infant. Small. Defenseless. And for the first time, I developed an irrational panic around knives. Not the thought knives are dangerous. Panic. Bodily. Disproportionate. As if the body remembered what the head never knew. Humans have 2 types of memory. Conscious. Explicit. I remember getting a C in 5th grade. Activates at 2 or 3 years old. And unconscious, implicit, bodily, emotional, works from birth, recorded without conscious awareness, including through the amygdala, a brain structure involved in processing fear. Implicit memory doesn't store memories, it stores reactions. Scream equals freeze, hit equals clench. My panic that appeared next to my own infant, probably not a coincidence. The situation, small child plus knife plus danger, could have activated a reaction recorded in the first months of life, when I myself was that infant, Squire and Kendall, 1999, Ledoux, 1996. The landmark AC study, Felitti, Anda, et al., 1998, on more than 17,000 patients established. The more categories of adverse childhood experience, the higher the probability of chronic illness in adulthood. The body keeps score, even when the head doesn't know. What this means for you. If you have reactions that seem disproportionate to the situation, panic for no reason, rage over something small, freezing when someone raises their voice, this is not weakness of character. It may be implicit memory. The body reacting to something that happened long ago, before words, before consciousness. The first step, don't fight the reaction. Notice, this isn't about now, this is about then. That one observation already creates distance. 2, why just relax doesn't work. My whole life people told me, relax. I couldn't. Not because I didn't want to. The autonomic nervous system has 2 main modes, sympathetic, mobilization, fight or flight, and parasympathetic, recovery, rest. In a child who grows up in an environment of constant threat, the sympathetic system is chronically activated. This is not personality. This is the nervous system adapting to an environment where relaxation was dangerous. In PTSD, the amygdala shows increased activity, and the prefrontal cortex shows decreased activity. Shin, Rauch, and Pittman, 2006. The part of the brain that screams danger works too loud. The part that should answer it's safe now, too quiet. Stephen Porges proposed the polyvagal theory, 2011, describing 3 levels of regulation, safety, mobilization, and shutdown. This model is widely used in clinical practice, though some of its claims are debated. For me, it gave a framework. Shutdown is not laziness. Mobilization is not being energetic. These are modes of the nervous system, not character traits. What this means for you. Relax is a meaningless instruction for a person whose nervous system is wired for survival. A different path is needed, not a command, but a repeated experience of safety. You relaxed for a second, Stan, and nothing terrible happened. Again. Again. not through understanding, through repetition, not in a day, over months. 3. Chronic stress physically changes the body. My whole life, I walked with my stomach pulled in, clenched jaw, tense neck. I thought, posture. Under chronic stress, muscles stay in elevated tension for years. The link between stress, muscle tension, and pain is well documented. Lundberg et al., 1999. Connective tissue, fascia, also responds. Loses elasticity, tightens. Schleip et al., 2012. The connection between fascia and storing trauma remains a hypothesis, but the fact that chronic stress physically changes tissue, that's confirmed. The first time I relaxed my abs was when I got pregnant. 30 years of continuous tension. A reason appeared to let go. A child inside who needed room. What this means for you. If your neck constantly hurts, your jaw clenches, your back aches, and doctors find nothing, it may be chronic muscle tension from stress, massage, stretching, osteopathy, yoga. These can help not because of some spiritual practice, but because they physically release what is physically locked. Start small. Notice where it's tense right now. 4. Breathing switches the nervous system. For a year, I couldn't learn to breathe with my diaphragm. 10 therapists explained. The diaphragm was barely engaging. Chronic spasm, I couldn't feel it. The vagus nerve is the longest cranial nerve, connecting the brain to internal organs. It plays a key role in parasympathetic regulation. Slow, deep breathing, especially with an extended exhale, is associated with increased parasympathetic activity, lower heart rate, reduced anxiety. Gerritsen and Band, 2018, a theoretical model consistent with clinical data. What this means for you, specifically, extend your exhale. Inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6 to 8. No visualization needed, no belief needed, just a long exhale. The body responds reflexively, not after one time, after hundreds. It took me a year, but every exhale, a step. 5. Why yoga helps, and what muscles have to do with it, not karma. Gym didn't help. In my case, gym mostly loaded superficial muscles, biceps, quads, and nothing changed. Then I started doing Surya Namaskar, and the pain in my sacrum went away. No pills. Before seeing an osteopath. The problem, as it turned out, was related to deep stabilization. Muscles that hold the spine, stabilize the pelvis, control breathing. They engage through slow, controlled movement, exactly what yoga does. Cat-cow. I did it every day and listened. I changed the angle. The shoulder blade shifts. Press a little harder with my palm. The clamp above the shoulder blade starts releasing. My body, a musical instrument that requires tuning by millimeters. No one will do this but me. Physiologically, cat-cow mobilizes each spinal segment individually, restoring mobility. This is proprioception training, the brain relearning to feel each vertebra. Cobra. As I learned to breathe with my diaphragm, my ribs began opening better. In cobra, the chest opens, exactly the zone where I had a slab. This is stretching the intercostal muscles and opening the thoracic spine, which compresses into a protective posture under chronic stress. Child's pose? I couldn't do it. Choking, panic, a pose where you need to relax and surrender? Impossible for a person in whom relaxation equals danger. This is not a physical limitation. It's the nervous system refusing to lie down and give in. A randomized controlled trial by Van der Kolk et al., 2014, published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, showed 10 weeks of yoga significantly reduced PTSD symptoms in women who hadn't responded to standard therapy. Mechanism: restoring the connection with the body and increasing tolerance for bodily sensations. Streeter et al., 2012, suggested that yoga increases GABA levels, a neurotransmitter that reduces anxiety. I wrote in my journal, Through yoga, you solve problems in your personal life. Sounds like mysticism, but the mechanism is concrete. Yoga can help restore the connection with the body. You start feeling your reactions. You notice where you tense up in relationships. A choice to react differently appears. What this means for you. If gym doesn't help with chronic stress, try yoga. Any kind, slow, where you need to listen to the body. Cat-cow, 5 minutes in the morning. If a pose triggers panic, that's information. This is where the body stores what it's not ready to release. Don't force it. Approach by a millimeter. Tomorrow, another millimeter. 6. Bodynamics, when the body didn't finish learning its movements. With Olya, I work using Bodynamics, restoring micro movements lost in childhood. When I first did ketamine, I crawled to the bathroom. My body was that uncoordinated. After a year of sessions and work with micro movements, I walk normally. Also, I don't feel my thighs. I see that my shorts are touching, but I don't feel the touch where I was beaten. I use elastic bands on my legs, a spiked ball, pressure through pillows, breath holds, to retrain the body to feel. Bodynamics is a somatic psychology approach developed in Denmark by Lisbeth Marcher and her colleagues from the 1970s. The approach is used in clinical practice, but has limited experimental validation. Marcher proposed a model linking muscle patterns with psychological functions, each of 7 developmental stages in a child: existence, need, autonomy, will, love/sexuality, opinion, solidarity, is linked to specific movements and muscles coming under voluntary control. If development is interrupted by trauma, neglect, abuse, the body doesn't acquire these movements and the adult has to relearn them, Marcher and Fitch, 2010. BodyMap, a diagnostic tool testing the tone of more than 200 muscle points. In pilot observations at a trauma clinic in Denmark, a correlation was shown between BodyMap results and Rorschach test results. This is not proof. It's a direction of research. A meta-analysis by Van de Kamp, Scheffers et al., 2019, published in the Journal of Traumatic Stress, showed body and movement-oriented interventions are associated with reduced PTSD symptoms. Mean effect size G equals 0.56. An updated meta-analysis by the same authors' 2023-29 studies confirmed the effect holds. The authors emphasize more high-quality studies are needed. Numbness in the places where you were beaten. When a child is beaten systematically, the nervous system can reduce sensitivity in the strike zones. A dissociative mechanism. I see that shorts are touching my thighs, but I don't feel it. Restoring proprioception through pressure, spiked balls, weights, elastic bands, is standard practice in sensory integration and occupational therapy, used in work with children with autism and adults with PTSD. What this means for you. If you have dead zones in your body, places where you see touch but don't feel it, this may not be a neurological problem. It may be a defense that once saved you from pain. Deep pressure massage, textured balls, elastic bands on limbs, work with micro movements. These are ways to gradually switch on those zones again, not quickly, not in one session, but the body can be retrained. 7. Walking instead of meditation. At my first Dispenza retreat, I did walking meditation. Walked, just walked. And a thought came, I want to help people like my son, and then people like me. The depression receded. Not forever. But for the first time in months, I felt something other than emptiness. Walking is one of the most studied forms of physical activity for depression. In a number of meta-analyses, regular walking showed comparable symptom reduction in mild and moderate depression when compared to antidepressants. Mechanisms: increased serotonin and endorphins, decreased cortisol. It's hypothesized that rhythmic movement may have a regulating effect similar to bilateral stimulation used in EMDR. But this is a hypothesis, not an established mechanism. The meditative part adds another layer. Paying attention to bodily sensations while walking activates the same interoception processes. You walk and feel your body, and it brings you back from the head into reality. What this means for you. If you can't meditate sitting, don't sit. Walk. 20 minutes. Notice your feet. Notice your breathing. You don't need to think about anything. Just walk and feel. Free, no equipment, no instructor. 8. Conscious movement brings the body back. Dissociation, disconnecting from the body. You're here, but you're not. For a child in an unbearable situation, on rescue. For an adult, a trap. You don't feel pain, but you don't feel joy either. Interoception, the ability to sense internal processes. Heartbeat, breathing, hunger, emotions. Yes, emotions are bodily sensations too. Tightness in the chest, heat in the face, a lump in the throat. Interoceptive awareness skills are linked to improved emotional regulation. Price and Hooven, 2018. The insular cortex, insula, of the brain plays an important role in these processes. I did yoga, and the body knew where to move, proprioceptively. The body felt where it was locked and moved there, like the tongue finds a bad tooth. What this means for you. If you don't feel anything, that's not a defect. That's dissociation. The way back, through attention to the body, any conscious movement, yoga, walking, dancing, washing dishes while noticing sensations. Every my shoulders are clenched. A millimeter back into the body. Millimeters add up to a path. 9. Working with parts. The war inside is not insanity. Rabbit, fox, the critic, the capitulator, the Iron Man, the suicidal part, the wild kitten, they all live inside. Working with parts is not just a literary metaphor, but a model used in therapy to describe inner conflict. It's a practice in which I talk to each part separately. I ask what it's afraid of, what it's protecting, and I negotiate. IFS, Internal Family Systems, a therapeutic model developed by Richard Schwartz in the 1990s. The psyche is viewed as a system of parts, subpersonalities, each with its own function. 3 types, managers, control prevention, firefighters, emergency defense, drinking, overeating, suicidal thoughts, exiles, wounded child parts that hold the pain. In a randomized controlled trial by Hodgson et al., 2022 Journal of Aggression, Maltreatment, and Trauma, encouraging results were obtained for IFS with complex trauma. The data preliminarily support the approach's effectiveness, but there are still few studies. Jung described subpersonalities as complexes, autonomous clusters of emotions and beliefs that are activated by a trigger and takeover consciousness. IFS is a modern development of this idea. In me, the critic says, you're nothing. The suicidal part says, there's no way out. Rabbit says, run. They're not enemies. Each one once saved my life. The task is not to kill him, but to become the one who sees all parts simultaneously, not inside the war, but above it. What this means for you, if inside you there's a war, one part wants to die, another wants to live, a third criticizes both, this is not insanity. This is the structure of the psyche, described in clinical literature. You don't have to choose one part and destroy the rest. This is not about thinking positive. This is about, critic, I hear you. But right now, I'm the one deciding. 10. You can choose your thoughts, but not right away. The candle went out. First thought, I'll die at 42. It didn't feel like a thought. It felt like a rule the body was already living by. The amygdala processes threats faster than conscious analysis kicks in. Ledoux, 1996. You're already afraid, and only then start thinking. Cognitive reappraisal, when the cortex generates a different interpretation, works, Ochsner et al., 2004. But in PTSD, the cortex is suppressed. The amygdala hyperactive, Shin et al., 2006. There's no gap between thought and reaction. Neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to form new connections, gives hope. Every time you notice an automatic thought and choose a different one, the alternative pathway gets stronger. This is the basis of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. What this means for you. If you can't think positive, that's physiology. First, stabilize the body, sleep, breathing, safety. When the nervous system calms down, a gap will appear between thought and reaction. 1 second. This is a thought, not a fact. I can choose not to believe it. The first 100 times, it won't work. On the 101st, it will. 11. Substances, a window, not a door. On THC, I felt my own bones for the first time. On mushroom, I cried for the first time in 30 years. On MDMA, felt compassion for myself for the first time. THC activates cannabinoid receptors, CB1. In my case, the subjective sense of the body changed. Psilocybin reduces activity in the default mode network. Brain areas linked to rumination, Carhart, Harris, et al., 2012. Clinical studies showed reduction in depression, Griffiths et al., 2016. MDMA was studied with support from the MAPS Institute. None of these substances is an approved therapy, but the potential is being researched. The key is not the substance. The substance creates a temporary state in which you can live through what was blocked. If in that window a new experience forms, the brain records new connections. They persist afterward. At first, I felt the body only on THC, then without it too. You remove the scaffolding when the building stands. I do breathing techniques, sometimes called DMT breathing, intense hyperventilation followed by breath holds. Sometimes this produces an experience that subjectively resembles the effect of psychedelics, but softer and safer. Insights come, sensations in the body, silence. The mechanism is not DMT. Hyperventilation reduces CO2 levels in the blood, leading to respiratory alkalosis and temporary vasoconstriction in the brain. The result? An altered state of consciousness. The hypothesis that breathing releases endogenous DMT exists, but is unconfirmed to date. DMT was found in the pineal gland of rats, 2013, and the enzymes for its synthesis were found in the human cerebral cortex, 2019. But there is no evidence that breathing triggers DMT release in quantities sufficient for a psychedelic effect. The effect is real. The mechanism is gas exchange physiology, not the spirit molecule. A study by Cox et al., 2014 PNAS, showed the Wim Hof technique, controlled hyperventilation with breath holds and cold exposure, allows voluntary activation of the sympathetic nervous system and suppression of the pro-inflammatory immune response. Epinephrine release in trained participants exceeded that of bungee jumpers. What this means for you? Breathing techniques with hyperventilation can induce altered states of consciousness without substances. For some, this is a way to access suppressed sensations and insights when substances are no longer needed or desired. Important, do it with an instructor, not alone. Hyperventilation can cause dizziness, seizures, fainting. I don't recommend self-treatment. My experience is not a protocol. But if nothing helps, know that studies exist where substances and breathing techniques are used as tools within a therapeutic context. The window opens briefly. You need to learn to live without it. 12. Higher power without God. In ACA, there's a concept, higher power, as we understand it. For many, that's God. For me, no, I'm an atheist. And for a long time, I couldn't get through the second and third step because of this. And then I understood. My higher power is the inner parent I grew. Adult Vera, who tells the critic, shut up. Who tells the child inside, I'm here. Mom isn't, but I am. Carl Gustav Jung described a similar process as individuation. The Path to Wholeness Through Integration of Rejected Parts, The Shadow, What is Repressed, Hatred of Mom, Anger, Shame, The Self, The Whole That Includes Both Light and Shadow. Jung was a psychiatrist who worked with real patients. His concept of the shadow is used in modern psychology, including in IFS, Internal Family Systems. When I meditated and felt a connection with something greater, this can be described in the language of neuroscience. Meditation reduces activity in the default mode network. When the DMN quiets down, the usual sense of the boundaries of I disappears. This is experienced as connection with something greater. Abraham Maslow called these peak experiences a natural human capacity, independent of religion. Reparenting, creating an inner parent, is a scientifically grounded technique described in the literature on complex PTSD and in the ACA program. I don't need God to feel grounded. I need the adult inside who survived everything I survived and is still standing. How the 12 steps work. Not faith, but method. It was important for me to understand what makes the 12 steps work for suicidal depression, not through God, through the psychological mechanism of each step. This is not the official scientific model of ACA. This is my interpretation. For me, the psychological meaning of the steps turned out to be this. Step 1, powerlessness. Admitting that control doesn't work. For an ACA person, this is exiting hypercontrol, the primary defense. You can't heal while you think you're managing. The paradox? Admitting weakness is the first strong act. Steps 2 and 3. Willingness to lean on something other than yourself. Not necessarily God. Could be a group. An inner parent, nature, the mechanism, reducing hyper-responsibility for a person who carried everything since age 5. This is a revolution. Step 4, inventory, systematic analysis of your own patterns, beliefs, defenses. For me, this worked like cognitive restructuring plus exposure. You look at what you've been running from. Faith isn't needed. Honesty is. Step 5. Admitting out loud, telling another person, the mechanism, destroying shame. Shame lives in secrecy. When you say it out loud, it loses power. Steps 6 and 7, readiness for change and letting go. Accepting that not everything depends on effort. For an ACA perfectionist, one of the hardest steps. The mechanism, reducing perfectionism. Steps 8 and 9, amends. Not forgive and forget, but seeing your own role in destructive patterns. Not for the one who hurt you, for yourself. Exiting the victim position, restoring agency. Step 10, daily inventory. Observing your own reactions in real time. This is literally a mindfulness practice. Noticing the pattern in the moment, not a year later in a therapist's office. Step 11, prayer and meditation. For an atheist, silence. 5 minutes without stimuli, without tasks, without purpose. For an ACA person who can't stop, this is harder than 12 hours of work. Step 12, passing on the experience. Helping others. Switching from I need help to I can help. This restores the sense of worth that was destroyed in childhood. The overall mechanism, dug into the past, found limiting beliefs, analyzed how they affect the present, saw the mistakes, noticed the patterns through observation, started changing. Not faith, method. Not God, honesty. What this means for you. If you don't believe in God, you don't need God for recovery. Higher power can be an inner adult, nature, music, a group of people. The point is not the object of belief, but the willingness to admit, I don't have to control everything. For an atheist, this foundation is the inner parent you grew yourself. From nothing. Like Munchausen. By the hair. Only for real. 13. Gratitude. Not positive thinking, but neurochemistry. I'm a skeptic. When people told me, write 5 things you're grateful for, I rolled my eyes. Gratitude lists seemed like self-deception. Turns out I was partially right. For many people, a stronger effect comes not from a list, but from concretely reliving an episode of gratitude. The neural circuits linked to gratitude respond to a story, not a checklist. Serotonin is considered one of the key neuromodulators associated with gratitude and prosocial behavior. It's released from the RAFE nuclei in the brainstem and activates prosocial neural networks, strengthening the feeling of I have enough. According to the popular explanation by neuroscientist Andrew Huberman, serotonergic regulation may weaken the feeling of an endless chase after the next stimulus and allows you to keep going longer without burnout. Huberman Lab Podcast, a popular science source referencing peer-reviewed studies. The key finding, narrative gratitude works much more powerfully. Not a list, a specific moment. Remember when someone sincerely thanked you. Enter that moment. Feel it in your body. 1 to 5 minutes, 3 times a week. A study by Keeney et al., 2016, published in NeuroImage, Indiana University, used fMRI and showed participants who wrote gratitude letters had increased neural sensitivity in the medial prefrontal cortex 3 months after the practice. The brain restructures, not a metaphor, a measurable fact. Gratitude practice is associated with increased serotonin and oxytocin and with decreased inflammatory markers, IL-6, TNF-alpha. This may produce an antidepressive effect and support mood, though of course it's not a replacement for medication in severe depression. What this means for you, gratitude is not about be positive, it's neurochemistry. Try not a list, but a specific episode. Remember one moment when you were sincerely thanked. Close your eyes. Feel it. 5 minutes. For many, this works more powerfully than 10 items on paper. What follows from all this? The body records everything. If you have unexplainable reactions, that's not a defect. That's the body's memory. Notice, this isn't about now. Chronic stress is not a metaphor. It physically changes muscles and breathing. Physically, you can start the reverse path. Relax doesn't work. Repeated experience of safety works. Not a command, an experience. Again and again. Working with the head alone is often not enough. 20 years of analysis didn't give what a year of breathing and yoga gave. Thoughts are not facts, but to see that, you need resources. First the body, then choice. The war inside is not madness. The critic, rabbit, the suicidal part, each one once saved your life. The task is not to kill them, but to become the one who decides. You can grow a foundation inside. Not God, not a teacher, not a therapist, an inner parent, the one who wasn't there, but who can be created. Gratitude is not weakness. It's neurochemistry that can support a brain stuck in chase mode. I don't need you to believe in anything beyond physiology. I need you to know, if you feel bad and doctors find nothing, it may be in the muscles, in the breathing, in the nervous system that is still waiting for the blow. And you can tell it that the war is over, not with words, with the body,